Rare Oregon rules. We are recording this hearing to maintain a permanent record. Today is Thursday, July 12, 2018, and the time is 5:05 p.m. And we are at the EQC meeting held at Tabor Space, 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. I am serving as the presiding commissioner for this hearing, and I will call people up to comment based on the order on the sign-up sheet. So if you haven't done so, those wishing to provide testimony must sign up on the sheet at the entrance of the room, and that sheet will, there'll be a second sheet as well as the first one comes up here. We want to let everyone know that there will be a DEQ presentation to start off our hearing, and that should last approximately 20 minutes. Now, the purpose of this meeting is to take public comments on the proposed rules for the Cleaner Air Oregon rulemaking. The commission is interested in hearing directly from you tonight. And our role is to hear and accept comments. Our role is not to defend or comment on the proposed rules or to engage in discussion with the commenters. We are in a listening mode to hear from the public about what you think about these proposed rules. After the hearing, DEQ staff will write a formal response to the comments. And DEQ will include the agency's responses in a draft report that the agency submits to the commission as part of the final proposal for action. DEQ may or may not revise aspects of the rules based on public comment, and the final proposal is scheduled for commission action at the November 15-16, 2018 EQC meeting to be held in Portland. And just as a reminder, there are several ways to submit comments on the proposed rules tonight. People certainly do not have to be here tonight to do it live, although we are looking forward to hearing your thoughts. A person can comment here at the meeting or submit comments through the DEQ rulemaking webpage or mail written comments to the address that we have posted. For the record, it's DEQ at 700 Northeast Multnomah Street, room 600, Portland, Oregon, 97232, attention Joe Westerson. All comments, however you choose to submit them, must be submitted by 4 p.m. on August 6, 2018. DEQ cannot consider comments on this rulemaking after that. So I also just want to let folks know, although it isn't set up right this moment for the DEQ presentation, when we get to the portion of the meeting where we'll be taking the comments, there will be one of these lighting timer notifications that will be brought out and set right in front of the commenters. And as you might suspect, green is the indication to go, yellow will be a warning that you have 45 seconds left, and red will mean thank you very much for your thoughts, we need to move on to the next commenter. The last thing I'd just like to share before we go to the DEQ presentation is that we are only hearing comments on the Cleaner Air Oregon rulemaking tonight. If folks have thoughts or ideas on other issues, our public forum for any variety of issues is tomorrow at 11:45. So we'll only be hearing comments on Cleaner Air Oregon tonight. All right, thank you very much. And with that, let's have the staff overview to get it started.
Thank you, Chair George and members of the commission. And I also want to thank members of the public here for coming to this this hearing. For the record, my name is Keith Johnson. I am an assistant to the director for DEQ of Clean Air Oregon, and I'll start off the presentation here. I want to thank everybody for their interest in Clean Air Oregon, which is a proposed program to regulate emissions of toxic air contaminants from industrial and commercial facilities based on risks to localized risk to health. In this presentation, we'll give you some information about the draft updated rules that you can submit comments on. After that, there will be a brief time for some questions, and then we'll move into public comment. This is the second public comment period that DEQ has held for the draft Cleaner Air Oregon rules. DEQ developed the current draft of the rules by considering comments received during the last public comment period, by incorporating the legal requirements of Senate Bill 1541, passed by the Oregon Legislature in March of 2018, by considering comments from the Cleaner Air Oregon Rules Advisory Committee at their May 2018 meeting, and by tying the many comments and issues together with the new thinking by DEQ and OHA on how best to achieve Cleaner Air Oregon goals. When compared to the 2017 draft that went out for comment, there are many changes to this new draft of the rules. This overview presentation highlights some of the significant changes for you to consider commenting on. If you made comments during the first public comment period, DEQ has carefully considered them, and they are still part of the record that we are actively considering to finalize the rules. So there's no need to resubmit your comments. We also welcome you to submit new comments. You can do so tonight at this hearing or in writing on our Cleaner Air Oregon website. This website also lets you see comments others have submitted, and it's also possible, of course, to send official comments by mail or email. If you want to submit a comment in writing, please note that the public comment period will close at 4 p.m. on Monday, August 6. The proposed Cleaner Air Oregon program would have the following three main parts. These parts of the program are really unchanged from the previous draft. We talk about reporting air toxics, we're talking about assessing risks, and then, if as needed, regulating to reduce risk. In preparing to comment on the current draft of the rules, it helps first to understand the requirements of Senate Bill 1541. These are mandatory requirements that cannot be changed in this DEQ rulemaking process, even if we receive comments about them. Senate Bill 1541 was a bipartisan bill that passed in the 2018 legislature. In addition to authorizing fees for program startup and implementation, it contains some significant policy items. The bill sets certain risk action levels, the levels at which emissions reductions can be required. It also allows source to request that their risk assessments be based upon where people actually are located rather than how the area is zoned. Bill also allows sources to delay taking action to reduce risk in some cases if they are doing air monitoring to get more detailed information about their emissions. In addition, it requires DEQ to organize and hold public meetings rather than sources. And then SB 1541 also makes changes to how the rules handle non-cancer risk and DEQ's options for addressing cumulative risk from multiple facilities and area. So both of these elements will be addressed through separate rulemakings. So let's see, to talk about RALS, I think I'm turning it over to you, right, Jim?
That's right.
So my name is Joe Westerson. I am the Clean Air Oregon Coordinator for DEQ. And I want to thank everyone who's come to comment tonight. We're looking forward to hearing what you have to say. My part of this presentation is to walk us through the risk action levels, or RALS as we call them, which are one of the core parts of the proposed rules. So when we talk about these risk action levels, we're usually talking about two different numbers, one for cancer, one for non-cancer. The cancer one represents the number of additional cancer cases that we would expect if a million people were exposed to emissions from a particular facility. So it's usually phrased as X number in a million. And then the non-cancer number is called a hazard index, which is a measure of the risk of non-cancer health effects. So for example, if a facility's risk is above 25 in a million cancer risk or a hazard index of one, under these RALs, the way that we're doing the naming, the name represents the action that needs to take place if risk is above those levels. So if it's above 25 million or HI1, DEQ and OHA would need to do community engagement. Several of the risk action levels that we have up here are directly corresponding to parts of Senate Bill 1541 that Keith mentioned. So I've got some blue arrows there to indicate those. And in particular, they're parts of Senate Bill 1541 that sunset in 2029, so that TBAC level at 50 in a million and HI of 5 is one that in Senate Bill 1541 is has a sunset provision. That means that in 2029, the year 2029, the Environmental Quality Commission could choose to change that number. The post-sunset cancer level could not be set lower than 25 in a million. So I have a few more slides about the risk action levels. I'll first start with the ones for existing facilities, then the ones for new facilities. First, we are proposing to keep a requirement for community engagement at a risk level of 25 and 1. This is the same risk level where community engagement was required in the previous draft rules. While SB 1541 set a less stringent requirement for risk reductions at existing sources, it didn't address public notification. We're proposing to keep community engagement at 25 and 1 because we received a lot of comments expressing concern about risk at these levels and wanting community notification and the opportunity for dialogue with facilities and with the agencies. Creating dialogue and communication between agencies, sources, and communities is a hallmark of this proposed program. We've added some flexibility for sources that are in between the community engagement RAL at 25 and 1 and the TBAC level at 50 and 5. Those facilities wouldn't have to attend a formal community engagement meeting if they voluntarily commit to reducing risk to below 25 and 1. This is similar to an approach used in the program they have in the South Coast area in California, and they've told us that's been very successful there. In our proposal, 50 and 5 is the TBAC level. TBAC stands for Toxics Best Available Control Technology, and facilities that have risk above 50 and 5 would have to either reduce their risk so they're below that level, or they would have to demonstrate that their risk, that their all of their significant emissions units have TBAC, have the best available controls installed to control their emissions. SB 1541 includes some requirements about how DEQ would determine when a facility has TBAC. In some cases, facilities that are subject to federal air toxics regulations called NESHAPs will be presumed to have TBAC. In other cases, DEQ would do a case-by-case analysis of the facility and possible ways that risk could be reduced. Next is the risk reduction level. Under SB 1541, DEQ can't require an existing facility with TBAC to reduce risk as long as they are below 210, which is the risk reduction level. Above that risk reduction level, we are proposing that all facilities would have to reduce risk to below that level, even if they have TBAC on all significant units. And so that means some facilities would have to go beyond TBAC to get beyond that level, potentially. The risk reduction level is set by SB 1541 at a multiplier of the TBAC level. It's four times the TBAC level for cancer and two times the TBAC level for non-cancer, 4x and 2x. And that means that if the TBAC level changes after the sunset in 2029, potentially the risk reduction level could also change in proportion. We are also proposing an immediate curtailment level 500 and HI 20. This means that all facilities would have to be below that level immediately at the time the permit's issued. So I've talked through risk action levels for existing facilities, and now I'd like to shift gears to new facilities. This also applies to reconstructed facilities, and reconstructed means a facility where they've had a rebuild project that cost more than 50% of what it would cost to build a new facility of that type. So they would also be subject to this more stringent new source regulation. So First, the community engagement level at 5 and 1. The previous draft of the rules also required community engagement at this level, but our previous version of this RAL table didn't have that line. So we just added that line, but it's not a change to our proposal. Next is the what we call the T-layer level. T-layer stands for toxics, lowest achievable emissions rate. So T-layer is similar to TBACT, but is more stringent because it does not consider cost. This is modeled on the layer concept that is used in some criteria air pollution regulations. T-layer is a replacement for the director consultation concept that we had in our previous draft rules. We replaced director consultation with T-layer in large part because we received a lot of comments from people who felt that it was too much uncertainty about how the director consultation process would work. We're also proposing a permit denial level at 25 and 1. So new facilities would not be able to get a permit if they would have risk above this level. If you'd like more information about risk action levels, we do have a handout that some people have told us is helpful. We call it the RAL's pyramid, and I'll hold it up for the folks in the room. I believe we have copies of this at the back of the room. It might help explain some of this, and of course we'll also be available for questions after this presentation. So that's it for my part about the risk action levels. I'd like now to turn it over to my colleague, Susanna Wagner at Oregon Health Authority, to talk about how health standards are used.
Thanks, Joe. So I'm Susanna Wagner. I'm a toxicologist with Oregon Health Authority. And so Joe just walked through proposed changes to the risk action levels, and I'm going to walk through some of the other changes to other elements of the rules. I'll start with changes we made to our selection of toxicity reference values, TRVs. So toxicity reference values are the levels of exposure to each chemical that are not expected to harm health. And they're set by authoritative agencies like Environmental Protection Agency. In Clean Air Oregon, toxicity reference values are the basis for risk-based concentrations that will be used to calculate public health risk levels for each facility. Those calculated risk levels are what we will then compare to the risk action levels that Joe was just describing. So the toxicity reference values and risk-based concentrations will be part of the rules. MDEQ has received several public comments regarding which values should be used. Since the previous draft rules were released, DEQ and OHA have made two significant changes to some of the TRVs and RVCs listed in tables 3 and 4 of the proposed rules. First is a change to the selection process for chronic TRVs. Instead of using a fixed hierarchy of authoritative agencies, DEQ, in consultation with OHA, is proposing to use the most recently established values for each chemical. This would ensure use of the most current science. In contrast, we are not changing the hierarchy proposed to establish acute TRVs because some sources of acute toxicity values are better suited to evaluate risk of 24-hour exposures than others. And the list of authoritative agencies that we'll use for TRV selection and the set of adjustment factors that we use to calculate the risk-based concentrations are not changing. Second, in an effort to streamline the rules, DEQ has removed the TRV and RBC selection and calculation methodologies from the rules themselves. The methods are instead moved to the risk assessment protocol document, which you can find on the website. So we also made some changes to draft rules related to community engagement. As Joe mentioned, we are proposing that community engagement will still begin at a cancer risk of 25 in a million and a non-cancer hazard index of 1. And some facilities may be eligible to voluntarily reduce risk to below these levels instead of participating in community engagement. SB 1541 requires that DEQ, rather than the source, hold all public meetings required for Clean Air Oregon. This means that DEQ would plan announce, and conduct those public meetings. But the bill also authorizes DEQ to require a representative of the source to attend any public meeting that DEQ holds. So the new proposed rules lay out at a high level the important elements of community engagement requirements. In the near future, DEQ and OHA plan to work with community members and other interested parties to develop a detailed set of best practices and procedures for community engagement. So those procedures will be based on community engagement best practices and guidance from state and local sources, such as the Oregon Environmental Justice Task Force. Compared to having a prescriptive process outlined in the rules, this approach will allow greater detail and flexibility to tailor the community engagement process to meet the needs of individual communities across Oregon. As we establish these best practices, we will be seeking and providing opportunities for public and stakeholder input. So one more element that has changed. The proposed Clean Air Oregon rules will be phased in over time as DEQ calls in sources to do risk assessments and apply for permits. The 2017 draft rules had detailed language about how facilities would be prioritized for call-in, and that included a formula that considers risk as well as demographic factors like portion of minority and low income and young children in the population. And we are still proposing to use the same formula to prioritize facilities. And we've also added some qualitative criteria that DEQ might also consider in prioritizing facilities, such as the relative severity of potential health effects or information that is somehow not captured in the formula. In the 2018 draft rules, DEQ has removed the detailed procedures for prioritizing sources from the rules and instead put it in a facility prioritization protocol. And you can find that on the rulemaking website. The 2017 draft rules also had a limit on the number of sources that DEQ would call in during the first 5 years of the program. And that limit has also been removed so that DEQ can call in as many facilities as time allows. So that's the end of the summary of changes to the draft rules, and I'm going to hand it back over to Keith to wrap this up.
Thank you, Susanna. So just a couple things here, and then we'll get to the next phase here. There are several ways that you can submit comments on this rulemaking. You can submit them here orally and drop them off in writing. Or we have a second hearing in Eugene on August 1st. You can submit comments online, as I mentioned, and also email or mail them to this guy. The public comment period will end at 4 p.m. on August 6th. We will read and consider all the comments we've received. And at the end of that process, we'll write a summary called a staff report for the commission's review. And that staff report will include a copy of all the individual comments and summaries and responses from the agency and the proposed rules with any changes that will be made public. And that staff report will be made public when we submit to the EQC in October. The EQC will receive our staff report and the proposed rules and meet to take action in November of 2018. The EQC could choose to approve the proposal as presented, approve it with changes, not approve it at all, or tell us to do something else, I suppose. So lastly, I just want to mention the resources we've put together. We've created several resources to assist you, the public, in participating in the public comment period and trying to understand this stuff. It's all on our website at cleanerair.oregon.gov. But we've got listed up here, we've got fact sheets, we've got a video that provides an overview that you can listen to, and a bunch of summary documents, including the Senate bill requirements. We've got rules and data tables, and some informational things on some of the risk aspects of the health-based program, and the notice of proposed rulemaking. So thank you, just want to thank everybody for your attention during this presentation, and I'll maybe turn it back to Chair George to see if we have time, if anybody has any questions, or we want to just proceed into the...
We want to get to our comments pretty quickly, but if we could take a couple minutes, if anybody has some clarifying questions, you know, about the presentation, brief questions, you could submit them now. And of course, you can always follow up with these folks as well. But we do have a couple minutes for that if somebody has a clarifying question. All right, hearing none, thanks very much. We will proceed and begin to start taking comments. We will take just a minute to set up the timer, and again, pretty intuitive. You'll probably know what to do when you see green for go. As a reminder, yellow will be a 45-second wrap-up warning. And red means thank you very much for your input, and we need to move on to the next commenter. Other reminder is we are only accepting comments on Clear Air Oregon rulemaking tonight. Please do limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. And if anyone has prepared a written statement or other documents, please just go ahead and summarize those orally and then introduce the written material into the record. And just so you know, DEQ gives written comments the exact same weight as oral comments. So all of that will be in the record. All right, we'll hear from Angela Crowley Koch from the Oregon Environmental Council.
Eliminated previous comments, but it's worth bringing up again, that we'd like to see all the data publicly available and an easy to understand way for the public on a website. So as much as we can move the rules in that direction, I think that would really be best for the whole program. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jessica Applegate.
Thank you for being here this evening. I'm Jessica Applegate. I served on the Rules Advisory Committee for over a year. I represented the community on that advisory committee, so I've gone pretty in-depth into all of these rules and have tried my best to track everything. As it's all kind of shaken down, a few things really stand out to me that I think need fine-tuning in this final process with the Environmental Quality Commission. I do think that their requirements must be made on DEQ to permit in a timely manner. There's a worry that by the time industry procrastinates and files for extensions, the sunset could actually happen, and so they've never really had to do anything for 10 years. That is definitely a concern. Another concern is, what is the definition of cost effectiveness for TBACT? If that's gonna be our kind of status quo, I think it should be it should be decided by both sides what TBACT actually is and what does cost effective mean. I don't think that TBACT should be used at the expense of public health when there could be something else better out there. We also ask that you support the lowest achievable emissions rate for new facilities. I read in some final comments from industry that this was this new thing that they had just heard about, and actually we've been talking about this since the initial technical advisory group, so that's definitely something we want to see happen at the very least with the new facilities. Again, I want to reiterate what Angela said, and the small business exemption must be eliminated. Small business polluting is how we got here in the first place. And just because you're small doesn't mean that you don't have a big impact and that you're not a big polluter. I would like to see in the draft rules, there's a lot of very passive language. I'm not a lawyer, I'm a lay person, but I can see myself that in reading that, there's a lot of mays and shoulds, and I think that that is just giving more loopholes where we really need clear rules. I think industry needs clear rules, and the public needs clear rules, and it will help all of us. I also want to just kind of confirm that we need our agencies to use the most recent and health protective science there is available. A lot of that work has been done, and EPAC, I'm with the Eastside Portland Air Coalition, we have asked time and time again, how do you make these decisions? What is this hierarchy? Why not just go to the source that has the most recent and most health protective rules? And we have been told, well, the agency doesn't have enough funds, there's not enough bandwidth. And with the Senate Bill 1541 passing and DEQ being funded and the AIR program being funded for the first time, I think that this is a huge public mandate to be sure that we can trust what our agencies are deciding, because I really think at the end of the day, everything is going to depend on what the TRVs are or the RBCs are. And it's very, very important that they are the most health protective as possible.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tori Cole. Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having public comment. I do first, so I'm Tori Cole. I'm a project manager with Neighbors for Clean Air, so some of you might know me. But we will be submitting more detailed comments in writing before the end of the comment period, but I did want to kind of just address in person a few of the really important things that I would like to see change in the rules. But first, I do want to thank DEQ for streamlining these regulations. I think the current content is a lot more accessible than the first draft that we saw, and I'm really impressed with that in terms of the public education work that I do with members of the community and getting them to understand what And it's just so important that we have health-based regulations in Oregon. You know, when I first learned all of this stuff about air quality, which is pretty complicated, my professor in law school told me, you know, we have these benchmarks in Oregon, but we don't have any way to enforce them, and you just need to know going into practice that there's not anything that we can force companies to do, really, in terms of health. And kind of highlighting that gap, because the federal government, you know, they have standards, but they can't account for what's happening in our individual communities. The scope is not the right scope for that. So I'm really glad to see this happening. The two biggest remaining concerns that Neighbors for Clean Air has in the existing regulations are community engagement requirements and risk reduction timelines. I think past comments have addressed this a little bit, but we've commented extensively throughout the rulemaking effort about the importance of robust and results-oriented community engagement component of the rules. You know, the draft rules do propose some community engagement elements, but we would really like to see that the rules require a specific outcome from community engagement meetings. I find working with community that the biggest frustration they have is that they came, they took the time, you know, they got childcare, they got transportation, they came to these meetings, and then they feel like their voices didn't have an impact. And I think one really easy way to push back against that kind of jadedness is to just submit a written response. I know DEQ does that with individual comments, but I mean, when you have a community engagement meeting that you are having about a particular source, I would like to see there be some written response about what people said and how actions were taken specifically based on that, those comments. And I think that's kind of a minimum that should be a requirement to summarize the concerns voiced by community members at meetings and to clarify precisely how those concerns were integrated into a source's risk reduction planning. I think this was brought up during the Rules Advisory Committee, but I would really like to see that community engagement meeting agendas be formed collaboratively with community, so it doesn't feel quite so prescriptive. Here's what we're going to talk about. You know, when I go to a meeting, I ask the people who I'm going to be meeting with, what do you want to see on the agenda? And I would really like to see that happen in these community engagement meetings, especially because we're only going to have one, you know, which totally makes sense with the resources DEQ has.
On the Cleaner Air Oregon rules. My name is Abby Lugtug. I am the Oregon Business and Industries Vice President for Legislative Affairs, covering environmental policy. I'm commenting today on behalf of OBI and our coalition of individual businesses and manufacturing associations. It's representing over 1,700 employers in Oregon and approximately 250,000 employees. We are supportive of a new program to reduce air toxics and protect public health, and we supported passage of SB 1541. OBI is concerned that aspects of DEQ's proposed rules do not meet the agreed-upon objectives passed by the legislature. We're specifically requesting the commission's oversight to ensure that the proposed rules are consistent with SB 1541. I'm going to highlight five aspects of greatest concern to OBI members and where DEQ's proposed rule diverts from the legislative intent of 1541. And the first is on regulatory thresholds. SB 1541 established risk thresholds for regulation of existing businesses, but the proposed rules mandate public meetings at risk thresholds less than the regulatory risk thresholds set by the legislature. Meetings should not be mandated unless SB 1541 risk thresholds are exceeded. The second aspect is small business impacts. In the proposed rules, existing businesses would be required to obtain a permit if calculated risk exceeds an arbitrary de minimis threshold. This threshold proposed by DEQ is far below thresholds for existing businesses set by SB 1541. We believe that the air permits should be reserved for facilities that exceed the thresholds set by the legislature. That will be consistent with the SB 1541 and save small businesses presenting minimal risk the expense of obtaining a new permit. Under the proposed rules, air toxics permitting would run thousands of dollars in DEQ fees alone for the smallest sources. The third aspect is the SB 1541 requirement to focus on serious non-cancer risks. We're concerned that in preparing the proposed rules, DEQ did not consider the legislature's requirement for DEQ to evaluate non-cancer risks by reference to the toxicity level for each chemical, at which no serious adverse human health effects are expected. DEQ must revisit its proposed toxicity values against the legislatively mandated serious effects standard. The fourth aspect is best available science. DEQ's revised rule provides that the agency will refer to a fixed hierarchy of sources when establishing the toxicity of individual compounds or evaluating facility risk. For example, DEQ has stated that it would not consider World Health Organization research because the WHO is not on the list. If Oregon's program is to be science-based, then the toxicity values used in rules should be based on the best available sciences and not limited to an arbitrary hierarchy of sources. Similarly, businesses that proceed to the most advanced stages of risk modeling should be allowed to introduce science supporting a deviation from DEQ's default toxicity assumptions. The final aspect is receptors, the locations where risks are assessed.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for the. We'll also submit written testimony on behalf of Oregon's businesses.
That's great. Thank you very much. I think we had another person who had signed up. That's all right. We can have more than one list. That's not a problem.
Okay.
Welcome, Craig Smith.
Thank you.
I am Craig Smith. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for Food Northwest. Food Northwest is a regional association of food companies that have a mission to provide diverse, healthy, and very tasty food. We're the people that feed you, and we're happy to be here tonight. Thank you for giving this opportunity. Food Northwest has been an active part of the development of Cleaner Air Oregon right from the beginning of the process. We were also a part of the group, the coalition that came together in the last legislative session. A coalition that exists. It was an informal group that helped develop the legislation. It was an industry, environmental groups, and we worked with DEQ very closely and the legislature to help develop and enact Senate Bill 1541. That bill passed with amazing bipartisan support. It was a really unique opportunity, and I think it was a very unusual piece of legislation, and the support that it gained showed bipartisan and wide support in the Oregon legislature, a feat not accomplished very often. And so that was a lot of credit to DEQ on that process. They worked really, really hard to make that bill happen. One thing, I really want to speak to two issues tonight. I'll be very brief. The first one, I think Abby spoke to some just a minute ago, and that's there are some things in the proposed rule package that do deviate from the intent and objectives of Senate Bill 1541, and we'd really like to see those addressed before the rule is adopted. Language in the draft is particularly troubling in the area of regulatory thresholds, non-cancer risks, receptors, and best available science. I also want to remind the EQC that language was developed through a negotiated process. DEQ was an integral part of that, and it's crucial to the success of the Cleaner Air Oregon program that the final rules reflect the intent of the Oregon legislature. Secondly, and this is sort of a personal observation, and I'll just throw it out there and you can take it for what it's worth. but we really appreciate that the EQC is well within its rights to request public testimony on any issue. But it's been confusing, frankly, that you guys are holding this hearing tonight during the midst of an open rulemaking process. We're not really used to this as an industry at all, and so it's been a little confusing, frankly, as to who is really gathering the information. And we're just hoping this doesn't short-circuit the formal rulemaking process. We want to be a productive partner in that, and when the process becomes confused, it's difficult. So with that, I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. We'll be submitting detailed comments as well on the rule package, and we are a part of the coalition, industry coalition as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have anybody else who signed up to provide testimony? Do we have anybody else who would like to sign up to provide testimony? You can certainly do that now if you'd like. So, Director, I know that we had provided, I think, a little time to just summarize maybe the timeline, next steps. Maybe we can do that, and then we'll see if anybody else chooses to sign up.
So, Chair George, and for the record, Richard Whitman, Director of DEQ, we can do that. We also, since we've noticed this hearing between 5 and 7 p.m., I think we need to stay, and if people show between now and 7, be prepared to hear them. So just want to make that clear for folks. But if you want to summarize the remaining process, I think I would invite Keith Johnson to come up and or other staff.
I think it was done pretty thoroughly during the presentation. I agree. The hearing has been noticed through 7 o'clock, and people with their busy days, you know, they may have been planning to come at 6:30 or something like that. Maybe we could take a little break. We will be here. We won't go anywhere. Provide opportunity for people to sign up if they wish, and then come back together in case there's anybody else who wishes to provide testimony. Does that sound like a good way to proceed?
Yes.
All right. So, Keith, do you have something for us?
I'm not going to make public comment, but I'll just offer that we have some staff here. If any of the people here have questions outside of the realm of a public comment, we are happy to speak with you and anything about the rules that you'd like to learn.
Yes, I think that's another great way to use the time. We have staff resources here. If you have additional questions, by all means, take advantage of that. We are not going anywhere until 7 o'clock.
So, Chair George, what I would suggest is you recess the hearing, and that we provide an opportunity for staff to talk with folks if they want to, and we leave the sign-up sheet or sheets up front, and if people come in and sign up and want to speak, then that you reconvene the hearing at that time.
We will do just that, and we will certainly do that. I will certainly check it by 6:15, and so we will take a recess now. And we will check that list, and if we have any additional testimony, we will reconvene at that time. And please take advantage of the staff here if you have any additional comments or questions. Thanks very much, everybody.